You are listening to 99.1 WQRT LP Indianapolis, and this is Create Here. Produced by artists and curators from Big Car Collaborative, Create Here is your place to listen to conversations with people making intriguing, innovative, and impactful things happen on the cultural front in Indianapolis, Indiana, and beyond. Find out more and access additional episodes at WQRT.org.
Welcome to another episode of Create Here. This is Shate Marsh, co-founder of Big Car and director of programs and exhibitions at Tube Factory Art Space. And I'm joined today by Yabsara Tab. Did I say that right?
Yabsara.
Yabsara.
Yeah, you got it.
I'm used to calling you Yabby.
Yeah, you can call me Yabby. It's all good.
Okay, thank you. And we're going to talk about her show.
Tizita. Yeah.
Body of work is an exploration of the physical and figurative aspects of place. On one hand, you say the word place refers to our built environment. The other hand, it refers to a sense of belonging that is cultural and emotional, still deeply tied to the physical world, but able to exist without it through memory. You write that you invite the viewer to step into the threshold separating here and now from then and there.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Like how?
Yeah, for sure. So the concept for this show came about when I went back to Ethiopia recently and took some photos. And I was trying to get inspiration and going through my phone and finding photos. And I found these photos that are of marketplaces and just physical places in general without figures in them. And for some reason, those images looked very quiet and lonely. And I couldn't understand why, because that's literally the opposite of what they are mm-hmm. in physical life when you experience those places in Ethiopia. They are very chaotic and, like, you know, it engages all of your senses because of the noise, the smell, you name it. And I was just wondering, why does this feel so quiet and lonely? And then I started to think about how places really ignite our memory. So when you think about a specific experience you had in life, usually the first thing you name is a place. And the physical aspect of place is something that grounds that memory. So I was just thinking about how the contrast of life here and there, and also the physicality of how places function. And also the memories about how, like, time and distance of time creates sort of, like, fades those memories and make them feel far away.
Talking about, Ethiopia, can you tell the audience a bit about your story about coming mm-hmm. to the United States?
Yeah. So I came to the United States at the age of 13. I was adopted. I was adopted with my sister, so which was great because we can maintain our language and our family connections there. And yeah, it was not an easy transition because of how different life is. And a lot of my work, I tend to talk about those differences and like the beauty that lies in experiencing multiple ideas of place and culture and belonging. And I guess earlier I didn't talk about the, like, metaphorical sense of place. That's when I was exploring, like, belonging as well, how we belong to a certain culture or a certain part of our identity, I guess.
And you have more layered identities than most people. You have the identity of an immigrant, the identity of a Black woman. Do you feel like you're able to address those different roles through your work
mm-hmm.
in the show? And can you talk about how you do that?
When I think about me as an artist, I try not to, at least in the past few years, I'm exploring ways in which I'm not boxed into a category of making. And there's been a theme that I found as a Black artist that certain places and people want you to create in certain realms. Particularly speaking about the Black experience, we're often, I feel like, as Black artists, expected to create about the traumas of existing as a Black individual in America, which is true. It's very hard to exist in a Black body in America, but I don't think our work, I don't think we should be expected to create that all the time, because we are full and holistic human beings with experiences broader than that. So with my work, I try to explore art in a way that is questioning and reckoning with the world, and at the same time just sitting with the reality, and also thinking about the future of the, you know, the Black experience in America, the joy that, you know, it's in a multitude of emotions and experiences. So through my work, I explore, with mark making, I think about the Ethiopian culture, what are different marks that resonate within the textiles that are embedded in the history of Ethiopia and the ancient churches and things like that. So a lot of patterns you would see in my work are repeated throughout, like the traditional tattoos and the house paintings and things like that. Excuse me. So my culture kind of seeped through the mark makings and the repeated language that is seen throughout the work that I do. That's
It's a bit complicated because I'm making an assumption, so correct me if I'm wrong, but is Ethiopia also a conservative, more conservative place like Indiana regards to things? Or would you, do you feel, I'm making an assumption because of the, you know, we had talked about, you know, it being Orthodox Christian and throughout history, so...
Yeah, I mean, it is conservative in some ways, but it's also not in certain areas. And the country is predominantly Orthodox Christian and also Muslim, depending on what part of the country you are located. I think it can be considered conservative. But in terms of, and when I say certain areas is not conservative, is that they really do live in harmony in terms of religion. You can find mosques near churches and things like that. So, yeah.
Do you feel like you'd still be able to make this work in Ethiopia and it be accepted there?
I think it's speaking to a different audience. Mm-hmm. So, for example, my work surrounding like race wouldn't really be relevant there as much, just because the identity of a Black person in Africa is different than the identity of a Black person in America or on the diaspora anywhere. So it really would just have to be reframed in a way that's relevant to the topic of conversation that's there.
When you were there last, your brother had given you a notebook from your childhood. Can you talk a bit about that and some of the works in the show?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I have been writing and making art as long as I can remember. And growing up, I was raised by a single mom. So it was my sister and I were raised by our mom. And our brother was with his dad, who's a different dad than us. So growing up, we were very poor. We really didn't have anything. My mom had always sensed my love for creating. So she would always find ways for me to make as much as I wanted to. And there were these... This paper is not, the papers that are on the show are not the same paper, but when I was little, she would buy me this very small, like brown book paper. It's like, it has like 10 pages. It's a little notebook and it was like 10 cents. It was very cheap. So she would buy that for me and I would literally draw through that in like a week, and then she would buy me again until she like couldn't afford to continue to buy that anymore. But the point of that is because of how we lived, we would move around a lot. We, you know, rent was always expensive. So we didn't really save a lot of our things. A lot of things got lost. And so when I went back recently, my brother had a notebook where I've written a lot. I honestly don't know what I was talking about. I'd written a lot on it, and there are some drawings in there. And that was one of the few things that remained after our mom passed, because, you know, things just get lost and moves and things like that. And I brought it back with me this past October, and I guess it was actually the last day of the show as I was trying to figure out how I want people to move through the space. I wanted the back area to feel like it's a process, to feel like it's still in the making, to feel like it's a studio space, kind of. So as I was going through all of my process work, I found a tote bag that had this notebook in it, and I just ripped those pages and incorporated them with the back wall of this exhibit.
Let's tell the audience a little bit about what they'll experience when they come into the gallery. Describe your works and the process.
Yeah, for sure. So in the main space, there are finished works that are framed. And a lot of the work that I do is a mixture of printmaking and drawing and mixed media. And most of these images represent or celebrate places in Ethiopia, places here. I kind of create a way of experiencing a place in a way that's indoor and outdoor, a mixture of just kind of going in and out through time and space. So there you can see an image of a church and an image of images of objects paired with it, or little moments from here and there, you know, sprinkled all over. And then I kind of wanted people to, when I experience a place or an art experience, I like the breakage of space. I want people to experience, to engage all of their senses, I guess. So once you walk into the gallery, the backside of the gallery is small pieces of prints and drawing and embroidery and textiles that are the silk images suspended that divides the room into kind of a separate feel. So the back of the room feels like a studio, feels like how the front of the room came together. And it is a direct reflection of the west wall, I guess. The west wall has images of monoprints of the silk prints. So I don't know if that makes sense.
No, I think it does. One thing I was wondering about is the color palette. There's a lot of yellow and green in the works. Why that color palette?
Yeah, green is something, I guess that's like my signature color, my brand, if you will. Uh-huh. I use it on my business card and my website, those greens and yellows. So I stay with that theme just to make the work feel cohesive and has sort of my mark and my color mixing. So I mix all of my colors, my inks. I don't use anything that's pre-mixed. Just because then it always feels right when I get to that specific color. And green is always a representation of growth, and I'm constantly evolving in my process and learning more. So
when you, how does it work when you have an idea for a piece?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like,
or is it like a body of work? Do you get ideas for a whole body of work, or is it just an individual expression that you're wanting?
Yeah, I think it's like kind of piece by piece. Sometimes I get an idea for a whole exploration, but usually it starts with one thing and I kind of push that idea to make it more expansive, or like research more with it, or push it further in terms of media. I guess when I get ideas, usually it's just a most unconventional timing. It would be like at 4 a.m, I think of something, oh, that could be interesting. And there are a lot of times where I feel stuck and uninspired, which I know is a very common experience with a lot of artists. And in those moments, I choose to step away from it, go to a park or something. But a lot of my inspiration comes from stories and experience of people around me or my community or just my own stories.
So since like these works that are in the gallery are, you know, there are some figurative, mm-hmm. You know, you do see some faces. Mm. Are those characters from Indiana or are they from Ethiopia or are they some sort of combination and do mm-hmm. they hold some, and I know you had said you were moving more towards abstract mm-hmm. You've changed how you do faces and
yeah, I guess a lot of them are imageries from Ethiopia, but in terms of like the places, they are, if I have a physical place, because I love to incorporate, I like incorporating architecture into my work. So like it can be, it's kind of a mixture of these like rigid, harsh lines paired with very dynamic marks that are kind of, you know, chaotic and all over the place. And yeah, I guess the imagery is a mixture of both. So it kind of exists in the middle. But with my marks and my work in general, I am moving towards a little bit of, it's not completely non-representational, because I think representational works are really important, especially when you think about Black artists. We haven't really seen ourselves represented enough in the literal figurative way. So it's really important to represent our likeness into our works, at least for me. So I like pairing it with these kind of imaginative or abstract ideas of people and places and objects with more representational things.
Since you do have so much of yourself in these works, how do you feel about selling them? Is that difficult for you, or how do you feel emotionally attached or unattached to your work?
Yeah, I usually, it's not great, but I don't think about sellability when I make my work. Obviously, that is very important to sell your work and make money. But for me, it's the experience, I hardly ever think about the end product being sold because of what the experience of creating, like how that is important to me, does not equate the end being bought at the end. So I usually don't think about those things, and I hope people relate or resonate enough to it to have it in their home. But at the end of the day, there are pieces that I'm really attached to. Like, I love this piece and I want to keep it. But usually I'm not super attached to the end product as I am of like the making, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for you, it's more about the process. Mm-hmm. And the end product is just, okay.
Yeah, go out into the world. Yeah.
So you say you often struggle to reconcile your pain, bewilderment, and anger with societal expectations to create beauty. Mm-hmm. And when we had first started working on the show, and you made this show very... you didn't have much notice to make the show. Mm-hmm. What, 6 weeks?
Yeah.
Six weeks. So, you know, it was a fully commissioned show in six mm-hmm. weeks. Some works did exist, but you made a lot of new works too. But mm-hmm. we had talked about in the beginning, you know, different directions. Mm-hmm. Are you comfortable talking about, you know, having, you know, your work try to sort through these difficult, you know,
yeah.
topics and society, sure. You know, like you say, pain, bewilderment, anger with societal expectations. Do you feel like you have permission to be angry in the work?
Yeah, definitely. I think art is the place that gives us the most freedom to experience the fullness of our emotions. So I think a lot of my work does come from places of anger, places of frustration, places of grief, a lot of grief. And the grief can be about my own personal grief and also just grieving societal things that are a lot of losses that we experience because of the systems of oppression. And art definitely does give me the freedom and the language because in one way, it allows me to think deeper about it and then sit with it. In another way, it allows me to have the freedom to abstract it in a way that helps me release it into the world in a more compelling way. And I think art is definitely a place to experience all of those things. And in the past, I've created work that are more direct reckoning with the, especially in terms of the conversation of race in America and celebrating Black joy. And I think as Black artists, we have the power to, you know, create reflections of our story, reflections of ourselves in a way that we want, not what the world says about us. And I think art is a perfect place for that.
And what are you hoping, you know, are you hoping people take away a certain thought or idea after seeing the show in particular?
Yeah, this show, again, it was produced in a very short amount of time and I had to pivot a lot in terms of like larger ideas that I wanted to explore. So with this show, I really want people, especially the back part of the wall, I really want people to feel free. I think when I describe the back room, it's freedom. It's freedom to, you know, say and exist and be what you want and create what you want. And when you think of the marks, they are very dynamic. And there's storytelling in there, but it's not always direct. So it's something that you have to seek and look into. Some of the images, as you've seen, have, you know, more detailed imagery. And then when you go deeper into it, you find more and more. And I want to inspire creativity and I want people to feel like they can make and it doesn't have to be perfect.
One of the works, the video piece, can you speak about that work and you know?
For sure. Yeah, the video piece is a watercolor charcoal drawing that I did as it was like one of the beginning pieces from this show, like one of, I guess it was the third piece that I worked on. And I wanted to overlay it with an image that I took in Ethiopia. It's a tiny little market image. They call them souk. They are very just like a compact little market that has literally anything that you can want. I remember when we were little, we would run up to it, like trying to memorize all the things we were supposed to buy and then probably come home forgetting half of the things we were supposed to buy. So I wanted to project an image that I did of this marketplace, of this woman kind of sorting through a, like, in Ethiopia, you buy a lot of things in like the raw form, like, you know, we would pick lentils, like we would pick the dirt out of the lentils or the chickpeas and things like that. And I wanted to kind of create that distance between those two images by overlaying them in Photoshop. And then I want that image to have a little bit of movement. So I added the little video element to it. And then the sound is my big sister and I talking about just our memories and the games that we played and the just life in Amharic. It's more that piece is just for us, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because nobody can really understand what we're talking about. But I think it kind of creates the essence of just life there and the clothing, the clothing line with clothes suspended to it. That is just such a mundane experience there. It's like you wash your clothes by hand. You just kind of talk to people as people do their regular daily things. And I wanted to capture that small aspect of this very regular thing and then kind of elevate it into a gallery experience.
It almost feels like eavesdropping.
Yeah.
A little bit, except I have no idea what you're saying.
Yeah, but it's like walking into a conversation.
Yeah. How does it work with you and your sister working together on these pieces? Is she giving you feedback?
Yeah, she mainly helps me with the sound element.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to have that conversation with her. And we've been meaning to have a talk show or like a podcast or something. And that's something we've been wanting to have. So like just sitting down and talking to her kind of made that actual. She helped with the sound element.
But then is the conversation with you and your sister or you and your aunt on the...
Both.
Okay, yeah. They're both. And can you talk a bit about your aunt?
Yeah, for sure. So my aunt is... she's awesome. She's really sweet. She lives in Ethiopia. She lives in a very, very remote village. When I went back, she came all the way to the city to see me because it's just a long ways. That's a long travel. And I just sat down with her and talked to her. And it was really beautiful to hear her tell us the stories that we didn't know, like, especially for me, like, coming here at the age of 13 and living in America for, I guess it's been 11 years. When you think about, you feel like you're forgetting a part of yourself and the memories that people have with you still remain there. So hearing her talk about like some of the trips that our mom took back and forth to the city, to the village, because our mom and her are the only siblings in their family. So they were really, really close. And our mom would, take us and travel back and forth. And just all those little stories is just really special to sit down and hear from her.
Do you feel like that you're able to know your history and have objects from your family history? Mm-hmm. You had said you moved around a lot and didn't have a lot of belongings. Does your family that you go back to visit help you piece that together? And is that then informing the work that you make when you get back?
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't really have any physical things left. And I think that's why these audio things are very important, because physically those things they can't be retrieved, unfortunately. But there are like small items that I try to gather, like especially photos. Any relative or friend that I saw when I went back, I tried to ask for photos. I am really fortunate to have people in my life that made the show possible. Emma, obviously, constantly there and every step of the way, helping sew the silk images, Mesky with the audio, and so many other friends that would just either go to the conservatory or on a park, just walk with me and talk things out. And even friends from college that would just have like FaceTime with me to, piece things through, thinking about past projects we've worked on or that past research that I had that could feed into this conversation. So yeah, it's been a really amazing show that really brought so many people that cared about me and that I care about together.
Do you think, a lot of people imagine artists work in isolation mm-hmm. on these works. Do you think that there's a balance between working and like with your work? Was there mm-hmm. times where you were working in isolation and times where you were like getting
Absolutely.
Input?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I obviously value time of isolation. I need that to just hone in with the work. But there are a lot of times where I needed either like physical like resources for like printing something or things that I didn't even know that I needed. Just talking to friends really helps flesh those ideas out. Like, oh, you could, this would make it easier or quicker, or you can think about, you know, just every step of the way having people is really important.
And we've already had one opening. So this exhibit is up through June 25th. And what is it like to give the audience access to you? And what are some takeaways from interacting with the audience when they, those opening nights and when they see your show? Is it sometimes like, oh my gosh, is it great? Is it annoying? How was it for you, or a combo?
Yeah, it was such a great opening. So many people came and engaged with the work, and I had a lot of conversations, especially with people really resonated with the movement and the freedom and the playfulness of the wall and the drawings on the wall. Yeah, it was a really, really good turnout, and I really enjoyed it.
And how was the reception of your American family to the work? And
yeah, they loved it. They also have supported me in every step of the way. They've constantly encouraged me to pursue my art, push, you know, they've never said like, art doesn't make money like some parents do. My parents have encouraged and supported me and my siblings. So, yeah.
And you have graduated with degrees in both design for social impact and fine arts. Mm-hmm. What is next for you? Which, wow. I don't know, because we haven't talked since.
Yeah. It looks like I might be going to grad school in Parsons.
Nice.
I am really excited for it. I am looking forward to pushing myself, growing more, connecting with people. Yeah.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
And you have shown all over Indianapolis, a group show at Newfields. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what are some, you know, so you'll be leaving Indianapolis probably this year. What are some of your fonder memories that you think you'll have of this place, you know, since we're thinking about place? And I know a lot of your work has pulled a lot from your from Ethiopia. Do you think you'll pull from Indianapolis more you move to New York?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like Indianapolis the past couple of years has been really good to me. I've met a lot of amazing people, not just through showing my work, but just participating in a lot of different events, going to open mics. And I mean, that's how I met the first, I met Chris at an open mic, and that's how I got the show with him in August of 2021. Yeah.
A thousand words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's just like, it's places and connections like that that make Indianapolis really great, because it's a small city, and but people really care about each other and know each other. So I think once you make the connection and put yourself out there, then there's so much to celebrate and so much to love.
Yabi, where can people follow your work, and what is your website information for the audience?
Yes, my website is yabseratab.com, or is it yabsera.com? No, it's yabseratab. It's just yabseratab.com. And then my Instagram is yab_art.
Well, it's a beautiful show. I just had a patron come in the other day, and they said it's one of our best exhibits. So thank you so much for allowing us to exhibit your work, especially before you go off and become famous. So we appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me. And this show has been incredible, and I had a lot of fun with it. Thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you.